I don't rush things, especially with writing. I sit with it and I really ask my heart again through that connection, is this something that I want to invest in? Is this something I want to put my time, my effort, my energy into? Is this going to sustain me? Is this going to be something that I'm going to want to complete?
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed, courtesy of Podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if they're cool, they're in. And today's guest is cooler than freaking 10 cucumbers, indeed, because today's wonderful author, y'all, not just any author, you're going to be in for a treat. That's really good enough to eat. I said that already, about to say it again, because today's featured award-winning international best-selling author is an intuitive healing coach, professional speaker, wisdom educator, television host, as well as a pioneer in the field of energy medicines. Let's give it up from his I to the S, the intelligent and sensational Ina Siegel. How are you doing today, Ina?
I'm doing so well. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well indeed. Doing well with all the extra water. Oh man, but hey, as with all introduction, not allowed to cover the whole story, and you got so much wisdom. So my goodness, if you were to describe your journey from the mini version of you to the current super special awesome you in three words, what would they be and why?
Wow, three words. I would say where I'm at now is wisdom, compassion, and connection, all about connection. Connecting all the pieces together. I believe that as we, you know, grow, we grow in wisdom, we start to understand other people and see life from their perspectives, not just our own. And so we develop compassion, and then I believe everything's about connection, you know, connection to your body, connection to your soul, connection to others. Why we do what we do is connection.
Three powerful words indeed. And Loach said there about connection, because hey, it's so true indeed, so true indeed, because shoot, now to think about it, that's kind of how you got your start into the energy medicine field, really. Finding out your internal sickness and pain was actually because of something you had to heal from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like we're either in a place of numbness and disconnection from ourselves, from our bodies, from our spirit, our soul, or we're in that connection. We're in connection with what's going on inside. I mean, in relationships, we're in connection with our heart. In writing, we're in connection with the words, and we're sharing the words so that other people can reconnect to something that maybe they were disconnected from. And I feel like when we live from the place of true inner connection and wisdom, then we get so much insight, you know, and it becomes, life becomes deeply fulfilling as opposed to numb and, you know, the disconnect from everything.
Ah, good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about indeed. And shoot, with all the disconnect, my goodness, like with your journey, has there been a moment where you felt like disconnected and you had to find a new tool to get reconnected, or was it just a drifting moment where you ended up drifting back?
I really think that in my life journey so far, I've definitely had moments of disconnect. I think everybody does. And I feel like because I have so many tools and so many ways to reconnect, it actually allows me to go deeper. And if I had to use an example, I would probably say that when I broke up with my husband, I really felt this incredible disconnect, partly because we were going through COVID at the time. So we were just literally starting into, I think it was that time where people were like either really connecting or disconnecting from each other. And I remember connecting to my heart and going, wow, it's really, I guess, shattered in a sense that I felt like I didn't know who he truly was until we were breaking up, which is really interesting. He was very, very good at putting on an act. And while I was aware of it to a degree, there was always this hope that, I could reach a deep place in his heart. But then I guess when one of his close friends who had known him for most of her life said to me, you've got to read about what narcissism is, and you're never going to have connection, true connection, heart connection with a person like this. And I hated, at that time, like putting names on things like that. And so it took me a while to kind of really understand people who live their lives essentially in that disconnect and have to put on and pretend. And the growth, I have to say, that I had from this experience was absolutely incredible, because one of the things I realized was when you enter into trauma, like pretty intense trauma, especially with a narcissistic type of person, you don't know what you're up for. And a lot of the tools that for me that I had used, I couldn't use them during that time. So that was actually quite shocking in that sense of disconnect, where I was like, I can't use the processes or the meditations or the practices that I was using. And so I went back to, I guess, to what I always do when I really need to connect, which is writing. And so I started writing, and I realized that the best way that I could reconnect was to write love letters to my heart. And so I literally, and they were pretty raw and intense. And so I literally started writing these letters to myself every day, acknowledging where I didn't listen to my heart, where I gave it away, where I really kind of jumped into, in particular, that relationship without wisdom, which is why I use the word wisdom now. It was passion, but it wasn't wisdom. And in there, I really felt like I kind of took all these pieces back, but in a new way, in a new form, where it's like I became a new me, a wise woman, a wise person, not somebody that before that essentially in certain circumstances and relationships would give myself away. And so it was a real amazing, amazing reconnection. And then a couple of, few years later, I was with my partner, my current partner. I was sitting with him, and I said to him, Can I read you something that I worked on when I was going through this really hard time? And so I did. And he said, usually I kind of gauge my writing by reading something to him and seeing how he reacts, to it. And he started tearing up, and he said to me, "I really think that you should consider sharing this with people in some form, because it's very touching and it might really help people reconnect to their hearts." So I did. So I created this card deck from this disconnect and this pain, and it's called Healing Heart Oracles, Love Letters to Your Soul. And yeah, it's a way of people to really bring those pieces of their heart. We don't realize how much of ourselves we push down, especially when we've had painful experiences.
Oh, you could say that again. It's so true indeed. So true indeed. That's awesome. Able to turn your pain into power and create more content with the Oracle decks. Shoot. Sounds like you got, I think, five total or three, five Oracle decks.
I think we're getting to seven, something like
Oh,
that.
so there we go. Lucky seven. Lucky seven indeed. And it's kind of sucked too because your ex was a longtime partner since the beginning of the whole, I guess, transformational process, if I'm remembering correctly, right? So he was basically hiding his narcissistic tendencies for all those years.
Well, no, actually, I had. Now we're really revealing. No, I've had two partners
Ah,
two
okay.
marriages. So I was married to Paul, who we're still very, very good friends with, actually. He's the father of my children and is a very beautiful, supportive man. I was very, very young when I met him, and we eventually grew apart a little bit, and we just felt that it was time for us to explore with different people. And we chose to stay really good friends, to parent our children together. And this Ty was my second marriage, and he, I guess, I was very vulnerable at the time where I met him. And narcissistic type people have an amazing capacity to give you the fantasy that you would love to have, except the fantasy doesn't last. And I don't have regrets in my life. I feel like that was a very, very important relationship as well. I learned a lot. I got to grow immensely, both in and out of it. And whilst I wouldn't be friends with this person now, because that's not the kind of people I want around my life, I have deep appreciation for all the learning, that I've experienced through everything in my life. I think through all the hardest moments and the most beautiful.
Yeah, the most beautiful indeed, the most beautiful indeed. So my goodness, so do you have any writing rituals or anything to keep yourself in that productive state? Because it seems like you have this creative mind and you're always creating and thinking of something new.
Well, I always journal. Like, I have so many journals. I'm always in that place of, I feel like when I journal, I kind of put a lot of pieces of the puzzle together in terms of why we're here and who we are as human beings. It really helps me both to understand myself, but also human nature, because I work with so many people. And then through that kind of ritual of writing and expressing myself, I get to a place where an idea might be born. And then I'm one of these people that is very self-motivated. It's something that I've just always been self-motivated. And so then I don't rush things, especially with writing. I sit with it and I really ask my heart, again through that connection, is this is this something that I want to invest in? Is this something I want to put my time, my effort, my energy into? Is this going to sustain me? As you would know, being an author, every project that you do that's to do with writing, you've got to go through, you know, the writing, the rewriting, the editing, you know, there's so many stages to it. And I sit with it because the stages that I love and the stages that I don't love as a part of it, I find more challenging. And so I shouldn't say not love, I just find challenging. And, you know, when I envisage it, I kind of go, when I get into the places that are challenging me, can this sustain me? Is this going to be something that I'm going to want to complete? And if the answer is yes, a deep kind of resounding yes from my heart, then I'm quite dedicated. I will make time for it. If it's not daily, it's pretty consistent. Like I write consistently. At the moment, I think when we were having a little chat before, I was saying to you, I'm writing a book. And as I was writing it, I actually ended up going on a trip to England and Europe with my partner. And he, you know, there was a lot going on and I couldn't write during that time. I had one day out of this like 5 weeks and I was really challenged by it. I was like, I need to get to my computer. I need, like, don't talk to me. Don't ask me anything. I just need this, like, give me the day to write. And I think, you know, he was just looking at me kind of like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm needing this time to do this. And it's hard, I think, for people who don't write to understand that need. So usually I don't take these types of breaks when I'm writing unless I've kind of completed the first draft and I'm giving myself a break from, you know, from the theme or that story or whatever I'm doing, so that then I can come back to it freshly and see where it's at. But yeah, it's usually quite consistent.
Yeah, that's huge right there, because it's like consistency is definitely a major thing when it comes to really creative projects and getting them done, and shoot, creativity with the aftermath of really the aftercare of once you release them, because your wonderful book, The Secret Language, if I'm not mistaken, of the body, like that one, like cult classic at this point with all the reviews.
It is. Sometimes I even think back to writing it and I'm just like, I don't know how I wrote it with everything else I was doing at the time. And, you know, it took me a year to write it. I think the next one took me 3 years and the following one took six. Yeah. So I kind of, you know, always go back to it and go, you know, what you can do when you're really passionate and motivated. Not to say that I wasn't with other books. It was just there were different kind of themes and explorations. But yeah, pretty amazing that it's still selling a lot of books at this stage of the game. And it's exciting that people are wanting to learn about themselves, about their bodies, about how they can, I guess, awaken the healer within themselves.
Yeah, definitely indeed. I knew our journey was a little similar in the book writing stage. I didn't know it was that similar because I know you wrote your book at 26 and my first one was at 23. And first one, that was done in a year. Second one, 2.5 years. It's like, it's kind of like the curse of knowledge, if you will. It's where you get more wisdom and information after the first book. It's like, oh, it's a different topic. And it's like in a way where you're like, oh, I want to make sure this is right. Because it's like, I don't want to be a failed sophomore project with book number two. And it turned out to be another successful book. So that's freaking amazing.
Yeah, well, actually, to be honest, I wrote different things when I was in my very early 20s, because I always knew that I wanted to write and I studied it. And so with Paul, with my first husband, we actually self-published several books, just kind of getting our heads around it at the time. And I wrote a play when I was, I think, 21 or something like that. And I had this, because I was really into film and playwriting and theater, and I wanted to be an actress at the time. And I just had this, yeah, amazing experience where someone put on the play and had reviews and different kind of, you know, articles about it, and people coming and watching it. And it was just such a kind of beautiful experience before I got to write The Secret Language of Your Body, because, you know, I felt like I was able to really express myself creatively before I moved, which I never thought, never considered that I would be doing, but until I moved into kind of more of a, how do we, well, I guess self-help, how do we help ourselves genre. So it's, I think, yeah, it's beautiful when we can start to write early and express all the different parts of ourselves.
Yeah, me like indeed. Huh. Wow, so wrote a play at 21. So do you think you might go back in time and, I guess, flip it around and make The Secret Language of Your Body a play?
It's actually quite funny, because at one point I had considered writing novels, and then I realized that it was a completely different art form, an art form that I was very excited about when I was, you know, studying it at university and so on. But I guess, you know, after years and years of writing in this style, I feel like it's almost a completely different way of putting your beliefs, your feelings, your journey onto paper. And I ended up meeting an author and became really good friends with her, who wrote the most beautiful kind of novels, kind of sci-fi meets spirituality. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? She's written what I would want to write. And I said to her at the time, you literally, like, you've done what I would want to write. And, you know, and then she asked me to send some of my books to her, which I did. And she was like, well, you write nonfiction how I would want to write it. And so I just felt, I just felt like, you know what? I'm good for now. I think there's so many things to still share that in writing. And I found it a lot harder to write the fiction. Like, I could feel, and you know, that I was stumbling and kind of going, I think I would need to go back to, you know, and learn how to do that. It's just so different that I'm quite happy at the moment staying with the genres that I'm in.
Good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. So I guess no billionaire vampire Highlander romance.
Not at this point.
You're like, yep, Secret Language of Your Body. The vampire loves the neck for a reason. Let me stop. My goodness, so since this is far from your first rodeo, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
Essentially, the question would be, you know, it would be around, we're a lot deeper than we think we are. And I think the question would probably be, what is the difference between kind of staying on the surface and knowing different things about yourself without delving really deep, and kind of thinking my life is okay and fine, and going really deep into knowing who you are as a person and what's the real difference? I think that would be the question.
So what is the real difference?
I think that when you, it was really interesting for me when I was delving into my kind of my past. I was born in Belarus and I've lived a lot of my life in Australia. I've traveled a lot. And I found that culturally where I come from, people live in more suffering and more struggle than people in Australia live. And yet, what was really interesting for me is that in Australia, there's more depression, there's more kind of suicides, there's more unhappiness than there is in Belarus. And in wondering, you know, that I realized that in the Western world, we often think that we fail if we are not constantly showing up as being happy and perfect and everything's great and we're so successful. Whereas in the Eastern kind of Eastern European countries, it's the struggle is the wisdom. The struggle is not seen as a failure. It's actually seen as that every experience, every part of it takes you closer to God in a way, closer to the divine within yourself and closer to being a deeper, wiser person. And so I realized that often my daughter would say to me, "Mom, are you happy? But are you happy?" And I would say to her, "I'm not happy in the way that is surface level. I'm not la 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 happy type of person. I'm very fulfilled in my life. I feel like the right word is fulfillment. And to get to fulfillment, it's way beyond happy. It's about really kind of connecting to the depth within yourself and within and using every struggle, every experience as an opportunity to, you know, to grow, to be able to be the kind of person where you give to other people from a place of total realness and honesty." And one of the things that I was sharing with my partner today, I said to him, there was a moment that we had when we were in England, and he actually said to me, "I don't know if people really saw you right now in this state. I don't know if they would fully kind of follow you and want to work with you." And I said to him, to me, that was a really cool moment because firstly, I only show that side with him because I trust him. And secondly, I want people to know that you have all sides to you, sides that are amazing and that have been, you've really worked on and refined. And there are sides of you that need attention and need connection, again, that word, and needs you to make the time to look at them, not to push them away because they're in the shadow, not to reject them, not to beat yourself up because you have painful parts of you that didn't grow in the same way as the rest of you grew, you know, that became stunted. And all of us have it. I have it, even though I teach people and I have been teaching for 25 years. And I think it's beautiful that they show up, and I want people to stop needing to pretend to be perfect, to try and show the world that you've got it all together. I think I mentioned to you when we were just having a chat that I got to travel a lot in the US and around the world. And especially when I was younger, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was traveling a lot. And I met a lot of people in the self-help industry who kind of had made out that they were perfect, that they had perfect lives when they were on, you know, in an interview or on stage. But I got to meet them, and their life was far from perfect, and their capacity to deal with challenges was far from perfect. And I felt like, I guess, coming from that Eastern European background and that suffering is not a bad thing, I felt like putting on this mask of perfection actually hurt people rather than helped them. And I remember listening to, even when I interviewed some of these people and before I met them, and them talking about this, how amazing their life was, how successful it was. I remember sitting there, I was 21, 22 at the time, and thinking to myself, wow, like, that is so far away from where my life is now. And I actually wasn't inspired. I felt more like, I don't know if I could ever have what they have. And it was so far at that point. And I realized that maybe in our life, we need to get more real. We need to get more raw. We need to get more honest. And the depth was not, you know, as opposed to this shallow type of happiness, was not what you show on Instagram. It's not what you pretend, you know, so that other people think your life is so great and wonderful. Maybe it's just being real. And the first step is being absolutely real and honest. I have this saying, like, ruthlessly honest with yourself. And that's what takes you to real depth of you and getting to know yourself.
Powerful answer right there. The real depth, indeed. That's right, indeed. Actually, kind of reminds me of one of our past guests, Dr. Cody Goldman, I believe. Yeah, he was on the professional development and putting on the face like, hey, everything's great, like positivity all the time, 24/7. Then he got really sick. I'm not sure if it was somewhere in India, but he was like somewhere out of the US of A for a trip and got this bad case of food poisoning, like almost to near death. And it just like opened his eyes to where it's like, hey, like you can't just have all of one thing. Like it's both. It's like the yin and yang. You gotta have the positive and the negative. Like suffering isn't all bad. Like it can teach you lessons.
Absolutely. As long as you don't get stuck in the victim. I think the biggest issue is when there is suffering and you're in the victim, as opposed, which then suffering uses you, so to speak, you become the victim. To me, suffering is about learning and wisdom, and actually also understanding, did I even bring myself to some of this? Did the past hurtful, painful, even traumatic experiences, did I really truly, you know, transform them, or am I still playing this out in my life? You know, and by learning something, I actually become victorious. I become the winner. I become someone full of truth, full of depth, and not just positive because, you know, just for the sake of positivity, but, you know, a visionary in some ways of, you know, where I can use that experience to touch others, not just through saying, hey, just think positive, but through, again, that connection, through holding space and being there for those who are not positive in that moment, but also knowing how to help them to move out of the pain, because I've been in pain, because I know pain.
Probably an understatement considering the pain you went through, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's like I really feel that I can help people who've gone through divorce. I can help people who've gone through a very damaging, painful, narcissistic type of a borderline relationship. I can help people who when I was very young, I've lost a child. I know what loss feels like. I can help and be and understand, you know, what that type of grief and that type of loss is like. I've been a mother as well, you know, so I am a mother, I should say. I have children, so I understand what it takes to be a mother, to build a business, but to also be there, you know, for my children when they need, you know, to take, you know, in the cycle of life, to make my children a priority no matter what. I understand what it's like. I've learned so much about what can create an amazing relationship by having relationships that don't work. I understand cycles of life. I understand physical pain and what it takes to transform it, even if it's not transforming in 1 minute. And so often people want that instant, you know, the instant big fix, the band-aid solution, the let's make this, how fast, easy, and instant can I experience life in? And I feel like depth is the opposite of that. It's slowing down. It's entering into all the color of life. It's experiencing so many different aspects and knowing yourself. It's nothing to do with easy, fast, and instant. It's slow, it's deep. It can take a lot of time. And I say to people when they come, you know, to me and they go, but I just want it now. And it's like, well, you know, you have a particular amount of time in this life, and that time you'll have either way. And so you can either be learning and growing and working within yourself and transforming, or you know, you can just have it all now. But you can't, because to have richness internally, to have fulfillment that I'm talking about, that takes a lot of time. That takes you to understand that you're kind of like a puzzle, and you're putting all these pieces together. And that's with health, and that's with relationships, and that's with business, and that's with your own spiritual kind of growth and passion. Everything in life, you know, that is worth things takes time and depth. You know, I wouldn't want to go to a surgeon that's just literally finished their training yesterday. Like, you know, I personally wouldn't. You know, I know that they need to learn, but I'd want to, you know, if I was having surgery, I'd want to go to someone who's had many, many years of experience, you know, because I'd want to trust them with my life. And I kind of feel like, you know, with our instant kind of civilization and band-aid solutions for everything, we forget, you know, how rich we can be internally if we are to give things time, rather than having to rush everything in our lives.
Talking about indeed, right, indeed. Because, yeah, I don't want to rush everything, definitely. Because, like, hey, sometimes got to have that stillness, right, indeed. Take it all in. Be fully present. Won't even need the wrapping paper and the bow either. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, since we don't know the title of your new upcoming book yet, I guess we'll go with the most recent one at the time of this recording. Let's see, for our usual fun question. So let's go with Understanding Modern Spirituality, an exploration of soul, spirit, and healing. So if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Wow, it was a food. Oh my God. Oh. Maybe lasagna. Because it's so layered. You know, it has so many parts to it that make you know, the layers that are there to make you think, to make you feel, to make you reflect deeply on your life.
Ah, that's a darn good answer. That's right indeed. It's got layers, y'all. That's right indeed. You might be the second person to say lasagna. Maybe. Maybe. And again, I've asked that
It's
question.
got so many flavors and so many different parts to it, and
It's true. Yep, it's true. And shoot, spirituality within itself, that's a huge topic. It's like, yeah, you're gonna need like three separate buffets and then a buffet inside the buffet. Sorry, indeed, right indeed. Well, shoot, this has been fun on a freaking bun. We're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
Slow down. I think my advice would be actually slow down and take in every part of your life with the awareness that every part is different and every part has a cycle, has a season to it. And don't rush so much. Don't just focus on the end result and on trying to be as successful as you can, because otherwise you're not really going to be living fully. This is advice I give to my daughter every day too. Smell the flowers, so to speak, you know, be there with both the challenge and the blessings of the experience that you're going through, and truly slow down in yourself, embrace it, because life goes by so fast. Because I started doing so many things young, people were always saying to me, "Oh my God, you're so young, you're so young, you're so young." And you don't realize how quickly it actually goes. And you know, and that internal rushing, that internal needing to get somewhere as opposed to be with where you're at, enjoy all of it, you know, work with all of it, explore all of it. I think that would be my biggest advice to myself.
Solid as a rock, maybe even five boulders. Slow down. That's right indeed, cause it's so true indeed. Cause yeah, it's right indeed. Time flies when you don't want it to. It ain't just when you're having fun. That's right indeed. Got to drink it in the moment. That's right indeed. Drink it all in. That's right indeed. Maybe use a whole keg if you have to. That's right indeed. Maybe use a whole wonderful a store of cups. That's right indeed. All the buckets, maybe, if you have to. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. But hey, speaking of buckets, you got a friggin' bucket, if not boatload, of content for folks that need to dive into. So for those who need to do just that and cop multiple copies of your books and maybe gift some Oracle decks to folks, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Well, I think the best way is to put my name in a seagull into Google, and it's just going to show up. And whether you're looking for understanding what's going on with your body, where the secret language of the body book, or my card deck, the secret language of your soul, kind of work together, or you want to work on your heart, or you want to look at ancestry, or you want to understand more of who you are and why you're here as a spiritual nature, which is, you know, understanding modern spirituality. Whichever way you want to go, I think I've touched on so many topics in my life. And if you want to go down the path of seeing how I teach and whether you want to explore a course with me, you might go to my website, innersegal.com, which is INNASEGAL.com, and you can explore there. Or you just want to go hey, give me a free kind of taster of how do you see life? How do you see healing? And so I have several masterclasses that I've recorded that are free for people to watch to start their journey, which all of them have a process or several that you can do on your own healing journey. A great one to start with is the secret language of your body. And again, you can get the free kind of masterclass on innersiegel.com/secret and just explore who you are. I feel like my teachings, because I've been doing this for 25 years, both kind of simple but layered, simple enough that anybody can connect to them, anybody can start the journey if they're open to it, of listening to their own body and communicating with it and getting insights from it and starting to heal and understand themselves. Or there are people who've been doing this journey for a while and they really want to go deep. They want to really understand who they are and have Awaken the Healer Within kind of training and exploration for those people, those who want a really deep dive into the healing, but not just the healing, but into understanding who they are as a soul, as a spirit, why we're here, what this journey is really about for us on this planet at the moment. So I go into the depth of that too.
Ah, the depth is freaking amazing too. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. She's like a walking iceberg. That's right indeed. I have to call her Iceberg Anna. That's right indeed, because she's at the tippy top. She's freaking fabulous, and it's got a whole bunch of content. When you dive deep, it's even a deeper amount of content, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So don't be like the Titanic and bump into it and drown. Be like opposite of Titanic, just be like, hey, an iceberg, let's dive in and see. Oh, shoot, there's a lot of content. Let me go ahead and take the time with all this. That's right, indeed. So, link to all of her wonderful wares in the show notes. It could do just as the brainwashing can continue, metaphorically speaking, indeed, because she's got a fabulous presence and a fabulous voice and a whole bunch of stuff to dive into, y'all. She's still just getting started because there's more that awaits, indeed. Well, Penny, parting words before we close up shop.
I think my parting words are really about the fact that we are so much more than we think we are, than we believe ourselves to be. And we're so much more capable. And it's not just of as, in terms of achieving success, we are capable of an incredible growth. We're capable of being beautiful human beings that love and care about others, that connect with others from our hearts. We're capable of being good parents if we take the time to slow down and to do our own inner work so that the people that we bring into this world are confident, beautiful, amazing souls. I feel like so many people are striving so hard to succeed that they're not actually giving themselves that opportunity, that time, the most beautiful possibility to get to know who you are. And for me, at the end of the day, no matter how successful you are in the physical world, you will not take that with you into the next world, into the spiritual world. But what you will take is, how deep did you become in your life? How fulfilled? How much good did you do for others? How much love did you give to others? And you can't fully give that without giving it to yourself. And I guess what I want to say, which is, on a lighter note, when my daughter was 4 years old, maybe five, one day we were taught, she could already talk well at that time, and we were having a conversation, and she said to me, "Mommy, I love you so much. I love you more than the world and the sky and the stars. And then she had this really sad face that she made. And she said, but I am a little bit sad. And I said, why are you sad? She goes, Mommy, because I love myself more than I love you, but only one dot more, because I have to love myself more so that I can give to you and I can fully love you. I just remember thinking, wow, this is such an absolutely beautiful reminder and experience from this amazing little girl that we can only truly give to others if we value ourselves, if we give to ourselves. And this is not about a kind of selfish, narcissistic type of love. It is a love by giving yourself the time to connect and learn about who you are so that you can truly grow and become an amazing, wise person that you can be in your life. And that's what I wish for people, is to awaken your inner richness, not just the outer ones.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.